Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is an honor to be here with you all, and it is an honor to have you all join us wherever you are watching from today. Thank you for being with us. I want to thank you all for the generous donations you gave to the Whiteside Elementary School Supply Drive. This week, I took a huge trunk load full of supplies over to Whiteside, and they were overwhelmed and so honored. So thank you so much for that. It took me a couple of loads to get it in, so that's how many y'all donated. Thank you very much. We are so excited to have you at worship today. I hope that something said here today is a blessing to you all. Would you take a moment now with me? Take a deep breath. Let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship. The Lord be with you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works.
Glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered.
Praise the Lord.
If you would please pray with me. Dear God, we praise you. We praise you for the rain and for the sunshine. We praise you for creation and the animals, the mountains and the sea. We praise you for one another, God, and we praise you each day. Please continue to remind us, God, how to praise you and how to see your works in everything around us. Let us never forget how much you love us. And until we see you again in the kingdom, it is in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
invite all the boys and girls that are at home, wherever you are, to join me for children's time, because this message is for you today. Did you know that yesterday was the kickoff to a really big race? I don't guess you call it a kickoff. I don't know. But it is a really big race. It's the Tour de France, and they started yesterday. And last week, some of you met up here in the parking lot for your very own Tour de Second B on your bicycles and your ride-on things. And some of you even ran. You were so fast. And it was so exciting to see you all here for our big race. I want to tell you a little bit about these cyclists who go on this race. First of all, it's really long. It's 23 days long. And it's 2,165 miles. 2,000 miles. That's a very long race. You have to think about, do you think these people just woke up last week and said, I think I'm going to join the Tour de France and get on my bike and take this little bike ride? I don't think they did. It takes more than a day's worth of preparation, right? These people have been working for years and for months to prepare for this big race. It takes a lot of sacrifice. They had to give up a lot of things to be ready to do this race. They probably had to give up family time, time with their friends, time with their favorite shows, right? They can't watch all the YouTube videos they want to watch. They are diligent in what they eat and what they put into their bodies. It's a huge sacrifice to do something that major. And I was thinking a little bit about our scripture today. And you know, as Christians, I think the sacrifice that we have to give to be a Christian and to follow Jesus is so worth it. Yes, we sacrifice a little bit. We give up some of our time, our personal time to come to church. We give up some of our time on Wednesday nights to come back for our Wild Wednesday classes, right? You give up some of your time that you might watch on your videos to study your Bible lessons. But in the end, the sacrifice that you give up to be a follower of Jesus is so much worth it, because you have this awesome person who loves you unconditionally and who will pray for you and be there with you wherever you go. And I think about that as these bicyclists are riding on their journey. I hope that they have something that they are thinking about and that is keeping them going every day as much as we have Jesus in our lives, because that's what keeps me going. And I hope that you will love Jesus too and think about that in your life. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, we love you so much. I say a prayer today especially for all of those bicyclists who are riding in this very long and awesome race. Be with each and every one of them and help them to have the courage and the strength to stay the course. And be with us and help us to have the courage and the strength to stay the course and tell people about you. It is in your most holy name we pray. Amen.
When you move, I'll move, I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. To my life, I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone.
Together. God, when did we see you hurting? When did we see you naked? When did we see you afraid? When did we see you sick? We saw you in the face of our brother and our sister, our neighbors, and our friends who are hurting, who are naked, who are afraid, who are sick, and who are never alone because of your presence. Give your hope always, and give your healing through our very skin. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen.
gospel reading today is Matthew 16, 21 through 26. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
I'm grateful to worship with you and gather with you in spirit, and I'm grateful for the magic of the internet to worship with those of you who are at home where pants are optional. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to spend the next 35 minutes talking more about the Tour de France. If that would be all right, we could just do that, and I would be delighted. Scott, I think if we would just do four more rounds of Just As I Am, we could preach the sermon this morning via song. That's at least the way that I was accustomed to it, you know. And if you were a real Christian, you came forward and you knelt down at the altar, okay? This altar call, this invitation, this hymn of response, right? So today we have an invitation, Christ. Our gospel message is an invitation to come, to deny self, to carry cross, to follow me, what we call the gospel, right? This invitation is exceedingly evangelical. Do you know the word evangelical? It's a great word. It's a great word. And although our culture has sort of pigeonholed this word into maybe a voting block or into certain cable news channels, evangelical in its origin and its etymology means to tell good news. What a great word. And today is a word of good news. It's a good news as to how to truly live then, now, forever. This is good news. This is evangelical. Now, some of our friends who are exceedingly hip now identify as post-evangelical. After evangelicalisms, it's a lot like post-modernity. What is it other than after modernity? We don't even have a name for it. Evangelical is a great word. Liberal is a great word. Conservative is a great word. When we look at the origins of these words, today is an invitation. Today is an evangelistic message to receive good news. Every 4 years, I set aside time in my spiritual life to be a proud American and to cheer for the Olympics. Did you miss the Olympics? Was all the chaos going on this summer? You don't even know that we missed the Olympics. Now it's been moved, thankfully, to next year. I'm not sure what they'll do 3 years or 4 years after that. But every 4 years, I set aside time to be a true patriot and cheer for two things that I never otherwise watch, which is swimming, right? And sprinting, running, track and field, right? And I'd like to just offer this to you in these starting positions of these two sports that I really don't know anything about, but these two starting positions, these two forms, I think, say a little bit about the good news today. When one of these athletes is to begin, I imagine that they would take a deep breath to consider the pain in which they're about to enter in. They'll take a deep breath, and then, as you can see, and here's where we're at in my ministry. Like, I have no idea at this moment how we're going to do this in the parking lot, okay? So all these people coming at 10:45 have no idea how this is going to go in the parking lot, okay? Take a deep breath, and then it comes down and in, okay? And then, ultimately, there's a forward motion. These are the three postures that I would like for us to consider together today. Three postures that I believe Christ explains in some regard today. Now, let's just be real clear. Jesus isn't talking about swimming or about sprinting. Jesus is not that nice to give such a helpful sermon structure. In fact, even further, Jesus, in my opinion, is presenting a beautiful dialectic form, which is an incredible theological tool. And yet again, I don't think this is what Jesus is intending either by saying, deny self and carry cross and follow me. One of the things I think Jesus maybe is doing is describing the complexity of what it means to be alive. You see, just two postures won't do it. The world is not binary. God is beyond the dualisms of our world. Spirit and soul and sex and sport and surfing and cycling. This, all of this complexity, all of this messiness describes a little bit of what it means to be alive. And so I find within Jesus' invitation today is three postures. In, down, and then up. To deny self is the first posture. This is the posture of in. Okay? To deny self, I believe, is to grow in awareness. Awareness of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news that you are not the center of the universe. The good news is that I am not even the center of my own universe. This is gospel. This is good news. Good news is not shame. It is not guilt. It is to deny self in order to learn. In order to learn that we have selfishness, that we have brokenness. Good news is to learn that regardless of any action you may or may not have taken, you are a part of broken systems. And the good news, in part, the good news is despite all of this, you are good. You are loved. You are named. And there's nothing that you need to do to fix anything in your life or in anyone else's. Thanks be to God. Three postures I'd like to try to describe today. And yet, one reality is maybe you don't feel as though one posture will fit at all. One reality is the stress of life, the disorientation of what it means to be alive at this moment. You may feel as though you're being pulled in 9 million different directions. And so if that's you, if there's something that's really working on you, something that's really heavy upon your shoulders, I would just encourage you, just tune out. Seriously, just tune out and breathe and slow down. Just listen to the Spirit of God just whisper that to you throughout the rest of your day. You are enough. You are loved. You are named. There's nothing you need to fix. When we are in this space of disorientation, when we are being pulled in 9 million different directions, it does no good to consider three postures. it does no good. In order to consider three postures, we need to take the time to know where we are, to be in one place. And if you're in 9 million places, it's no good to work on 7 highly effective steps to be the best Christian you can be. Just breathe. Just breathe. Now, with each of these postures, I'd like to suggest a prayer practice. And in the posture of self-denial, Jesus' first invitation, I think in this space, this is the space in which we grow in awareness. We grow in awareness of our own biases and our own brokenness. We grow in awareness of some of our desires, some of the things that we've accumulated and how they're not necessary, how they're not important. We grow in awareness in this first space that Christ is with us right here. And as we grow in awareness of ourselves, we also grow in awareness of intimacy with Christ. And so in this first posture, I think the best prayer practice, one prayer practice we might consider, is the practice of contemplative prayer. Isn't that a fun word? Aren't I fancy contemplative? And all this means is to listen, to quiet our own words, to quiet our own wisdom, in preference of the whisper of the Spirit. Jesus' first invitation to deny self, to be still, to be quiet, and know that I am. The second posture is to carry the cross. The cross, in my understanding, is that which has the power to shape you. What has the power to shape you in your life? Now, some of these crosses in our lives are that which we don't choose. Sure, injustices, a mental illness, tragedy, violence, many of these things we don't choose, and yet these are our crosses presented to us, thrust upon our shoulders. And some of the crosses, some of the things that have the power in our world to shape us, are things that we do choose. Relationship, marriage, education, risk, business. These are all things that have the ability to be our teacher, to form us, and to truly live, to truly carry the cross, is to experience the weight of these things such that the gravity brings us down. The second posture to carry the cross sounds, in my Western mind, to carry the cross sounds like, all right, let's get up and get moving. Wouldn't that be convenient? The second posture is not carry the cross forward. The second posture is to feel the weight of the cross down. And we live in a fast food world. We live in a ready, go world. We live in a world that says if you're not an instant success, if you're not, if your ready go is not good enough, then, bless your little heart, then go back and add the extra set step. And this is the world that we live in. And yet I wonder if the Spirit of God, in all grace and in all wisdom, is whispering to us, ready, set, set. Set, and even the mentioning of an extra set, I believe, heightens all of our anxieties. When are we going to go? When do we get to carry the cross forward? And here is the Spirit saying, set, set. It is under the weight of the cross that we are shaped and we are formed. But what if the world passes us by in all this setting? And Jesus says, yeah, that would be great. That would be great. For what good is it, he says, to gain the whole world and not have a clue who you really are? In this posture, the down posture, I'd like to encourage us to pray for one another. We pray for one another, not such that all of your problems and all of your crosses and all of your difficulties and all of your sufferings are removed. Rather, Mother Teresa encouraged all of the sisters in which she served, some of the world's poorest people on earth. She encouraged the children in which she served who had next to nothing. She encouraged them to pray for one another, suggesting that in our collective suffering, in our collective prayer, we see the face of Christ crawling towards Golgotha. This is why we pray for one another, that we might understand also the cross upon our shoulders and the cross upon your shoulders, and may the face of Christ be revealed in the weight of glory. The third posture, finally. either you can go and watch a video or you can just take my word for it, okay? But these swimmers, go and watch one of these races, one of these events. They keep their head down the entire time. I know I'm supposed to be talking about cycling. Come back next week. We'll talk about cycling. Okay. They keep their head down. If you bring your head up, those of you who are swimmers or your children swim on Friday, Saturday, Sundays, Monday, you know if you bring your head up, it creates more drag, more friction, more resistance. But if you keep your head down, you go smoother. You're more efficient. You're faster. Even our sprinters keep their head down the entire race. Doesn't look up until after that finish line has been crossed. We keep our heads in and down for an extended season. This is what it mostly means to be alive, is to be in and down. And then, finally, eventually, we get to come up. We get to come up. And in this word in the Greek, follow me, Jesus says, this is a word that is often connected in identity sort of context, in an educational, a communal. It almost connotes the meaning of enrolling. Jesus says, will you enroll with me? Now, I am so special. It didn't happen in 2012 to Allison and I because we didn't have smartphones then. We were on the payoff student loan plan and we didn't have fancy data, okay? And in 2016, if it happened, I don't remember, okay? But it's happening. And with regularity, I am so special that organizations and individuals and volunteers will text me. They'll send me a message straight to me. Someone this week from Vote Texas Vote said, dear Jake, we just want to make sure that you are going to support a democracy this November and exercise your right. Can we count on you? And you know me, I can't pass this opportunity up. So all caps, which you know, that's something. All caps. H-E-L-P, exclamation point. And Ralph never texted me back. Can you believe that? And so, don't worry, just a few days later, bing, I got a text message from Felicia, who is with Friends of Freedom. And she wanted to know if I would be supporting her candidate this November. She suggested to me even that my life might be better if I supported her candidate. Can you believe this? I thought, oh, this is fantastic. You guys are reaching out to me. How kind. So trying to play it a little bit slower this time, I said, I'm undecided, which is like sticking my bloody toe in the water full of sharks. And can you believe it? She sent to me, I said, I'm undecided. She sent to me all kinds of information in support of her candidate. And I was a little surprised. Maybe you'd be surprised too. Can you believe she sent me information that was negative about the other candidate? Wow. 24 hours go by. I'm slow playing it this time. I've learned my lesson. She reaches back out. You know, it's like we're dating or something. And she says, have you made up your mind? And so I respond, I say, how much? She says, how much what? I said, how much? She said, how much more information would you like? And I said, how much will you pay me to vote for your candidate? And can you believe it? I thought Felicia and I were really getting somewhere, and she never responded. And here's the world we live in. People, complete strangers, volunteers, organizations want to call and text and email and knock on your door such that you would enroll, such that you would identify with a plan, with a way of life, with a victory that could last at best 2 to 4 years. Everyone, red or blue, yellow or green, orange or whatever, everyone is pining for a victory. And Jesus says, if you want to win your life, you'll have to learn to lose. And all these organizations pining for a victory. And Jesus says, if you want to really live, not just for 2 to 4 years, if you want to really live now, forever, if for all, deny yourself. Carry your cross and follow me. Yeah. And in this third posture, the up posture, I think our best prayer practice is gratitude. Yeah, gratitude. You finally had a moment to bring your head up. Thanks be to God. You live in a world in which you can send sarcastic text messages to tick off political activists. What a great world this is. Thanks be to God. There is air in your lungs. There is all sorts of opportunity to be alive. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for the right to vote. And thanks be to God for those who vote with gratitude, for public servants who serve with a grateful heart. Amen. Thanks be to God. It is incredible to be alive. It is truly good news to deny yourself, to carry your cross, and to follow me. Tony Campolo told the story of a man named Fred, who was getting his life together. You see, Fred had previously lived on the streets, but really he was working the plan. He was in and he was down for a long time, and it seems like maybe for the first time in his life, he's come up. And he's not in line at the homeless shelters anymore. He's volunteering there on the weekends. Can you believe this? What an incredible story. He used to go for free food and resources from his church. And now he goes to worship. He goes to fellowship. He goes to learn. What an incredible story this Fred is. And one Sunday, Fred, driving to worship, sees his friend on the side of the road who still lives on the street. So he picks him up. He says, man, hey, get in the car. I'm going to worship. It's great. Why don't you come with me? And so they go to worship. Here are these two wonderful individuals in worship. And can you believe it? The preacher actually preached a decent sermon that week. And here comes Fred's friend at the altar call, at that invitation moment, at that point where you're supposed to come down forward and be really moved by the Spirit. And here comes this man. And he comes down front, and the pastor sitting on the front row, and the pastor overheard this guy who lives on the street. He overhears his prayer, and he says, dear God, on his knees, his face is in his hands. He's at the front of the church house, and he says, dear God, please make me more like Fred. After the service, folks are coming out, and everyone's telling the preacher, man, it's a great sermon. Great sermon. Great sermon, preacher. I just say that sort of as self-talk, you know. Great, great sermon, preacher. And here comes Fred and his friend. And the pastor wants to encourage this guy. He says, man, I'm so glad that you came here to worship. I'm so glad that you came down front to pray. And I know that God heard your prayer. God was delighted to hear from you. And he said, I just want to encourage you, you know, next week or any time, if you would like to pray, you could also pray that God would make you more like Jesus. And this guy, he looks up at the preacher and he says, who's Jesus? Is he like Fred? And And here's the fourth posture. As we're giving thanks in this third posture, as we can see some shadow that looks like the Savior just a few steps ahead, it is so often that Christ leads us back in and back down. It's a circle, you see, and we never graduate and we never complete it. But there are these moments even that the invitation to deny self, to carry cross, to follow Christ, is not, that invitation is not even given by Jesus. It's given by you and me in the way that we live our lives. And that is good news. Let's pray together. We worship you, O God, in all power, in all goodness, in all love. You show us the way to truly live, to deny our egos, to feel the weight, and to rise up on wings like eagles, and to do it all again together. I pray for these, my brothers and my sisters, gathered and those scattered. May you be near to them in all of these postures. May your presence encourage those who feel as though they are in 9,000 different places, not just one of three. May you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to feel. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. In spirit or in stature, I invite you to stand and we'll continue to worship together.
Please pray with me. Dear God, help us to clear the personal baggage out of our hearts and minds so that we may focus on you. We frequently pray as Peter did, for God to answer his plan for Jesus in their future. Jesus' answer was, "You're a stumbling block to me. Deny yourself and follow me." Those who love their life will save it. That was a tough answer to prayer. But Peter listened to Jesus and eventually fulfilled his journey. This turns the focus of the story back to us. Dear God, we believe our sincere desire is to follow you. We humbly pray that we can do less talking and more listening. God, you have plans for this church and for each of us. We pledge to you that we will be listening. Amen.
Marilyn, Larry, thank you very much. Beautiful. Amen. I think there's great news. I think there's good news. And I'm honored to gather and to worship with you in that good news. If you would stand, I would be delighted to offer a blessing to you. This guy, he says to the preacher, "Who's Jesus? Is he like Fred?" "And each of you have been Fred to me. And may you go and may you be Fred's in our world." Amen.